Hey, hey, welcome to another episode of The Partial Historian.
Hey!
Join us as we trace the history of Rome from the founding of the city down to an indeterminate point.
Point where things sort of peter out.
Exactly.
Nothing else happens.
Peter out. That leads me to introduce my co-host, one Dr. Peter Greenfield.
Hello, hello. Welcome, dear listeners.
Indeed.
You may recall that at the end of our last episode,
yes,
we were dealing with Horatius Cocles,
yes,
and the magnificent defense of the bridge.
That's right.
Keeping the Tyrrhenians from Rome's door.
So magnificent a defense that is, one might almost say that it's mythical. Almost.
Yeah.
To wait for the fact that, you know, the hero of the story gets blinded and gets wounded in the buttock and is left laying for the rest of his life.
You know, and then has to, like, you know, plow a field with
exactly, yeah,
with all of those injuries.
Hobbling about. Yeah. Yes. Well, you may also recall that at the end of last episode, we kind of did flag the fact that it's very hard to figure out at this point in time what is real, what is not.
Rome is in dark times.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like actually through a lot of territory in Italy at this point in time, there is a lot of upheaval, just in general, from what we can tell from the archaeological remains.
Say what?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Things aren't going so well for anyone, it seems.
There is a real struggle for dominance in Italy at this period in time.
Yeah, and as we say, like, a lot of our sources are looking back at this point in time from a quite successful point in Rome's history.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, they might perhaps be seeing Rome as maybe wanting to be a bit more powerful than it actually was at this point in time, maybe.
Yeah, look, I mean, Lars Porsena is camped just outside the city,
yeah,
and it's not going well for Rome.
See, even Porsena, right? I've even read that some people think he could even be a mythical figure.
But I like him.
So I like him too.
I'll fly with it. I'm running with the story, bro.
Yeah, and so the story of people like Horatius Cocles could very well be Rome's way of dealing with whatever it was that actually happened,
yeah,
at this point in time.
You're going to have a bright star to hold on to, yeah, in the moments of pure shadow.
Yeah, exactly. It could be that Porsena was, you know, more successful than they'd like to admit. It could be even, and this has come up in quite a few of my sources, I don't know about you, Dr. G, but quite a few of my sources have even suggested that Porsena's siege of Rome is actually what led to the end of the monarchy in the first place. That the dates got sort of rejigged a little bit.
Massage the figures.
Exactly, yes. Make the king kicked out before Porsena comes, and then he's on the bad guy side.
It's certainly the case that Rome finds itself in a really problematic situation.
Yeah.
They're having massive amounts of defections to Porsena, despite everything that...
Treachery!
Despite everything that Horatius Cocles manages to conjure up with his bridge, they're losing great numbers. And it seems pretty likely that the sub-narrative, the narrative that is not being told in this story, is that Rome is losing this war. Mm. And their behaviour and interactions with the Tyrrhenians beyond this point seem to bear this out as well, as we're about to see.
Okay.
Okay.
So, of course, Porsena is left scratching his head after the magnificent defense of the bridge because he thinks, perhaps my tactics are not what they should be. Perhaps, according to Livy, I should besiege the city and blockade it so that they can't get supplies. We'll smoke the Romans out. We'll smoke the Romans out.
Well, you know, it's as good a tactic as any, and one that the Romans have tried a number of times themselves various people in Italy. So
indeed.
Why not?
Exactly.
There is also something to be said for the fact that Porsena is in league with the Tarquinii.
Yes, yes. Apparently.
Yeah, look, they're not dead.
According to our
They're still not
stories.
Dead.
Yeah.
This has been going on for quite some time
I really want someone to say, how old is this guy by now?
Yeah.
How old is he?
Not very old, because we haven't really progressed that much further in time as
I know, but it feels like we've talking about
him for ages. There are a lot of things to do with him.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Porsena suggests to the Romans that perhaps they should receive Tarquinius Superbus if they want to be rid of both the war and the current famine, which is taking place as a result of the war.
And let me guess, the Romans say...
The Romans are
never!
There's some very little... fingers up in the air.
Yeah.
There are some gestures made, and essentially they're like, "You've got to be kidding!" The one thing that we said we would never, ever, ever, ever do.
Yeah, we took an oath, man. We took an oath.
Yeah, So the Romans refuse to do this. They're like, no, we're not going to receive Tarquinius. Yeah. That's not what's going down.
They basically say, we'd rather die. And Porsena says, okay.
All right. Yeah. So the Romans have to come up with another plan.
Yeah.
And this is where our good friend,
Gaius
Mucius, comes into play.
Okay.
A young Roman noble.
Ah, yes. And he's feeling... Because basically, with this whole, you know, blockade situation going on, the Romans are starting to feel the pinch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're maybe starving just a little. Yeah.
I don't think starving is the right word. When people are defecting because they need to eat,
Yeah. You've
got real problems.
Exactly.
Like, this is dire straits.
Exactly. And Mucius looks around and he says to himself, right, this is outrageous. We're Romans. Even under the kings, nothing this bad ever happened.
Now what, guys?
Yeah, but he's not going to defect. Oh, no. He's going to come up with a cunning plan.
Yeah, and like this is like the sort of cunning plan that is in the vein of Tarquinius himself.
It is,
so
yeah.
This is great. He says basically, look, I'm going to go over to the Tyrrhenians' camp in the guise of deserter.
Yeah.
And you know why this is really going to work? Because I speak their language.
Ah,
everyone's
tricky.
Like, sweet disguise, bro.
They'll never see it coming.
They will never know. Like, well, we've had a lot of deserters lately, so. Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, I suppose your intentions are in the right place. This sounds like a great idea.
And he's like, when I get there, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sneak in and kill Porsena.
And then just like that.
Job the last done. Head of the Hydra will be gone.
Exactly. It'll solve all our problems, guys.
Yeah.
This one death that will solve all our problems.
Look, the senators are really excited by this.
Yeah.
And there are favorable omens. So
oh,
they get
of course
on,
there are.
They get on board with it. They're like, sure, dude, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
Last-ditch attempt. It's going to be amazing.
So he sets out with a sword cunningly concealed in his garments. You'd think that they would frisk deserters, but no.
I had to slash my way out of Rome.
Yeah. So according to Livy, he arrives in the camp, and he manages to sort of edge his way close to where the king would be hanging out, his tribunal, right? And there's lots of people around. Okay. But of course, the king's not just sitting there by himself. He has...
What?
He has his crew with him.
Right? What?
Yeah, people who help him out. Okay, and so Mucius realizes, it'll be a dead giveaway if I ask which one is the king. So I better just guess. And unfortunately, his guess is wrong. He kills the king's secretary, not the king. Is this what Dionysius says?
Well, kind of.
All right.
So he heads into the camp.
Okay.
And so Porsena has set up a camp that is like built like a city.
Right. Yeah.
He hasn't laid it out like a camp. He's laid it out like he's building as some sort of settlement.
Well,
so
you know, you want to be comfortable while you're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be there for
he's
a while.
He's got a forum in his camp.
Nice.
Apparently. So, So Mucius goes to this forum and notices the general's tent. It's like, cool. Sees a man who looks quite remarkably...
Kingly.
in both his stature, his physical strength, and he's wearing a purple robe.
Yeah.
And he's seated on the general's tribunal. And he's like, well, if that ain't a king, I don't know what a king is.
We Romans, we know the danger signs.
Yeah. He's like, I see all the insignia of a king.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this guy's surrounded by a whole bunch of guards.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is the dude. This has got to be Porsena.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's Porsena's secretary. Who's sitting there and numbering some soldiers and making a record and just so happens to be dressed in purple.
Yeah.
It's all very...
As you
whoops,
do.
Coincidence. but it's
what,
true.
This whole thing?
Yeah. This is just an old purple robe
that
I threw on because I had nothing left in the other colours that are appropriate.
We just know how much this colour pisses you guys off.
I didn't know it was associated with royalty. For us, it's for secretaries.
Exactly.
Mucius goes up to this guy, draws out his concealed dagger, and strikes the man in the head.
So similar kind of end of the story.
Look, it doesn't seem like the best place to try and wound somebody anyway.
Yeah, why don't you try and stab someone in the head?
Yeah. Anyway, but he does manage to kill the secretary with one blow, so, you know, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
But he is immediately seized.
Of course. Well done, guards. Finally you're on the ball.
And then brought to Porsena.
Yeah. Okay, so this is where Livy continues. He basically says that, Marius, of course... Sorry, Marius. Mucius. pardon me.
Mucius.
Yeah, Mucius. Of course, being a Roman, he's not at all scared by this whole situation. He basically says, "Ha, I am a Roman, and I came to kill you."
Obviously. I came pretending to be a deserter, exactly. And I'm here to assassinate you.
Exactly. And you can do whatever you like to me, because I'm a Roman, and I will suffer whatever punishment you dish out with fortitude. I'm not afraid of you at all. But know this, you may kill me, but whenever you kill me, one shall rise in my place until finally we do assassinate you. So, ha, ha, ha. Does this happen in Dionysus?
Kind of. Yeah. And he's like, so he gets to this position where he's in front of Porsena, and yeah. Mucius is like, look, yeah, sure, I was here to kill you. No probs, obviously.
I admit it.
Yeah, but I did make a mistake, obviously, and yeah. Now we're here, which is awkward, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you refrain from torturing me and give me assurances by the gods that you'll take care of me, I'll actually reveal some details that are going to be really important for your safety.
Yeah, okay.
And Porsena is like, all right, then.
Well, it's kind of, to be fair, that's kind of how he phrases it a little bit in Livy. But, yeah, it's a bit more defiant.
Yeah, so Mucus is sort of like, look, if you take care of me, I will tell you some really important information. And he's like, and so Porsena agrees to this. And then Mucus is like, okay, so actually, I'm just the first of, like, 300.
Yeah.
There is,
that like, magic number.
Yeah. There is an elaborate setup here. And it's like, and if I fail, which... obviously, I have. They will send another one until we get through the whole 300.
Yeah.
You're not going to know.
Yeah.
You're not going to know who it is. Somebody, one of these people, is going to kill you.
Always, yeah.
So, really, what you should probably do right now is maybe pack up and get out of here. Because you're just not going to know which of the deserters who comes over is going to be the next assassin in disguise.
Not paranoia if they really are out to get you.
No. And knowing that there are heaps of defections from Rome, this is like the perfect cover story.
True.
Like, how... Yeah. Yes, very clever. Yeah.
Well, Porsena, in my account, after receiving this warning, he's furious, of course, but he's also scared.
Mm.
And so in Livy's account, he gets fires all around him, I guess to kind of like protection or something. And basically this is how he kind of, you know, sort of threatens Mucius. And he's like, okay, check out all this fire. There'll be punishment if you don't tell me more about these plots that you've been telling me about. Okay. And Mucius says, again, it's kind of like, meh, thrust his hand into the fire. It's like, this is what I care for, your threats. And Porsena is like, dear God, such bravery. I have never witnessed before. Retire in safety because of your valiant...
Still my beating heart.
Exactly, yes. I'm no longer as mad as I once was. I'm more just impressed now.
Dude, get your head out of the flame.
Exactly, yeah. So I basically say that I'm so impressed, I will send you home in safety, apart from that whole hand thing, which you did to yourself anyway.
Yeah, that's a very strange kind of narrative. No, we don't have any sort of flaming hand moment.
Really?
No. Okay.
Well, see, I think this is where he supposedly gets, like, his little extra name after this. Scaevola.
Mm.
Okay, something to do with the right hand.
Possibly with hints of burning.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. Card around the edges.
Yes.
No, well, Porsena...
And this is after this. This is where Mucius says, okay, so since you've acted nobly in recognizing that I am awesome, this is when I'm going to tell you about the other plots, you know.
Oh.
So this is kind of how it's
burn
framed.
His hand first.
Yeah, well, basically, it's kind of like a mutual respect thing. Like, you know, they're both just furious when they first see each other. And then, you know, there's the fire, the burning hand, and then it's like, oh, you're actually an awesome dude. It's like, well, recognizing my awesomeness, I recognize your awesomeness. Here's a tip. 300 guys.
careful.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of framed. It's framed a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So yes, that's how it kind of comes.
Yeah,
down.
Mucius doesn't really.
It's not right hand. It's left hand. I'm sorry.
He doesn't really get a hand burning moment in Dionysius's narrative.
How do they know he is the left handed?
Well, I don't know, but he never gets that name in Dionysius' account. So, but we do have this sort of moment where Porsena is like, takes the threat seriously. It's like, what? There could be like 300 of these dudes, and decides to call together like his
council. I tremble in my city.
Yeah. I'm a slightly concerned. He gets together his friends, his generals, his sons.
Yeah.
And they talk about like, well, what are we going to do about this?
Yeah.
And Aaron's, Porsena's son, is like, this is not about what sort of precautions you should take. You need to be in a situation where you don't need to have precautions.
Clever.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone's like, dude, way to do a rhetorical argument. Like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Forget being precautious. Just create a new situation where you don't even need precaution. Okay, how do we do this? And he's like, so maybe we should talk about stuff to do with the Tarquinii.
Yes.
And he's like, and Porsena's like, yes, let's do that. Let's do that instead.
Yeah, well, Livy's got a kind of similar situation in that, yeah, Porsena basically, yeah, basically is also feeling a little nervy. And so he starts thinking, okay, so maybe I should just settle this whole thing with the Romans and just wash my hands of them.
Yeah, yeah, just get out of here.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. And he kind of, again, in Livy makes this suggestion that maybe you could just restore the kings. But
have you considered?
Exactly, yeah. But in Livy's account, he mostly does that just because he promised he would. He kind of, at this point, knows the Romans are going to go, hell no! So, yeah, he kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. I didn't really think you were going to accept, but I had to try.
Yeah, so they do this sort of thing where there's some backwards and forwards and there's some more fighting, and he advocates for the restoration of the Tarquinii again.
Yeah.
Also demands restitution of some property.
Yes.
The Tarquinii seem very fixated on having their property back, I have to say.
Yes.
And all of this sort of builds to a head where the Tyrrhenians are also like, well, how about we also have the seven districts, which is this territory that used to belong to them, but now the Romans have taken and occupied it. Not to be confused with the Seven Hills.
No, not the Seven Hills of Rome.
Not the Seven Hills of Rome, which is still being created.
Yeah.
But the seven districts, which is some area just off to one side. We're not even really sure where it is. Nobody knows.
Territory. It's territory.
Territory. Yeah. Territory. And they decide to do a bit of a hostage exchange situation, because the Tyrrhenians really have the upper hand here, and the Romans, although they've been skirmishing, they're still losing people.
Yeah.
And
well, and if we are to believe what most modern historians think these days, it could very well be that Porsena's actually just captured Rome at this point in time.
Look, and to me that seems like a really reasonable explanation, because this narrative becomes really weird.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's like the whole thing about Scaevola.
It stays weird for a long time.
Yeah, and that's just it. The whole thing about Scaevola, it's focusing on, as we talked about with like Horatius, basically, like these individual acts of bravery and fortitude.
Yeah, yeah.
And it brings about an explanation of why Porsena would want to negotiate, I suppose.
Yeah, but Porsena doesn't need to negotiate.
No, exactly.
So all of this sort of backwards forward stuff really seems like this is not negotiation. These are just demands that Porsena is making, saying, we want the seven districts of Rome. I'm camped outside your city. You're all starving. You will give them to me. And I need some of your hostages because I don't trust you.
Yeah, which is fair enough.
When you say that you're just going to give them to me.
Exactly, yeah.
And, like, the Romans sending hostages to Porsena suggests that they're on the back foot.
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly it. So, yeah, basically they do agree, and I'm using my flesh references to those terms, and Porsena withdraws his troops from the Janiculum, according to Livy, just hightails it out of Roman territory.
Just gets out of whoa!
Yeah, and of course this leaves Mucius Scaevola, our left-handed friend, to receive awards from the Senate for his magnificent deeds.
It's just not really what's happening. I mean, one, according to Dionysius, there's no mention that the Tyrrhenians pull out of Rome.
Okay.
They certainly have an embassy,
right?
That they send there, and Publicola, agrees to just about everything that is demanded.
Yeah, yeah.
Thinking that the Romans at this point are so desperate that they will accept any terms.
Yeah.
And this means, like, the restoration of the Tarquinii and the restitution of their property.
Say what?
I know. Yeah, including the heinous things from which they have always refused.
Get out.
Believing the crowd of plebeians and poor, oppressed by the scarcity of provisions, would cheerfully accept the termination of the war upon any terms whatever.
Ha! These are the Romans we're talking about.
Yeah. And look, the people ratify a whole bunch of the stuff,
yeah,
but they will not restore the property, yeah, of the Tarquinii.
Jesus.
And they're not really interested in restoring the Tarquinii in any respect.
No.
And
no.
So this causes a problem.
I have to admit though, sometimes when it comes to the property, I feel like saying to them, guys, you can't take it with you.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
They're not willing to let it go. Very much not willing to let it go.
Oh dear.
That's just not how it's going.
Yeah.
And eventually, the Romans decide that they will need to send these hostages.
Yes, yes.
Which are... it's a group of 20 children.
Right.
They include female and male children.
Mm-hmm.
And the consuls send their own children, first of all.
Ah, these consuls.
Yeah. So Marcus Horatius delivers his son. Mm. Publius Valerius sends his daughter.
Yeah.
notably, who had reached the age of marriage...
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, 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 I see, I see.
Yeah, so, I mean, when we're talking children, they might also be adults.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, this is where Livy basically just launches straight into this story about one of the hostages called Cloelia. Do you have this story?
Yes, well? Yes, I do. And so, yeah, so we have this mixed group of hostages.
Yes, yeah.
And then we have the story of what the hostages get up to,
yeah,
while they're hostages.
Yeah, and this is awesome, I think, even though it's probably mythical or whatever.
I'm guessing it's one of these stories that the Romans are telling themselves so they can have individual heroism.
Exactly, because they're basically, it's going to be a good story. They're trying to ease the pain of the fact that they had to hand over hostages by making one of them kick-ass
Look,
chick.
Let's face it, they don't want to say it, but they lost.
Yeah, exactly. So basically one of these hostages, Cloelia, they're being held in a camp that's, you know, not that far away from the Tiber, apparently.
Mm.
And basically she manages to dodge the guards, and with a bunch of other hostages, she swims across the Tiber, even though it is noticed that they're escaping. They're getting very slowly away.
Is that a woman swimming in the river?
Oh my god, there's other women and children after her. Yeah, so while they're swimming across, they're, you know, apparently, you know, being fired upon by, you know, the people who probably should have been guarding them. But they manage to make it back anyway, and they rock up at Rome like, guys, we're home.
We escaped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the story.
Is that what happens
in
Dionysius?
It unfolds slightly differently in Dionysius.
Right.
There's a certain amount of maidens. There's not just one.
Okay. She has friends.
Yeah, yeah. She has her friends.
Yeah, yeah.
They ask leave of their guards to go to the river and bathe.
Ooh.
And yeah.
Subterfuge.
And the guards are like, okay, well, you need to wash. So the guards accompany them to the river.
Okay.
Because they're guards.
Yeah.
Well, they're like, okay, yeah, yeah, sure, you can wash, but we're going to have to come with you.
Yeah.
You know, you're hostages. And the women are like, okay. And they get to the edge of the river and the ladies are like, well, it's my modesty.
Yeah. It's not comfortable yet. I'm dressing in front of you and that's part of our relationship.
Could you move back a little bit? Privacy, please. And the guys are like, sure.
Fair enough.
you're high-born hostages, I understand. Okay. And the maidens, once they have this sort of alone time, this is when Cloelia has her moment and she's like, so I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to take this opportunity to swim across this river.
Yeah.
And the other girls are like,
great idea.
We're coming with you. We're coming with you. Get back to Rome. And everyone's like, oh, well, that's great. But of course, this causes problems in the negotiations.
Yes. Yeah. The
massive problems.
Yeah. Basically, in my account, Porsena is rather ticked off.
Yeah. Look, the Romans are accused of breaching the oaths.
Yeah.
And goading Porsena.
The Romans goading?
Yeah.
Never.
How could they?
I know. Yeah, that's basically what happens here too.
And even worse, as far as Dionysius of Halicarnassus's narrative is concerned, the consuls just defend the Romans to the hilt and say, look, we kept our oaths. It's just these maids over here that didn't. They did this without any orders from us.
Yeah.
So they basically just disown these women
at this point. What are you going to do?
Yeah, but it's horrific. It's just like, throw those women under the bus because Rome is not willing to...
to stick their neck out, yeah.
Yeah, not to save them. And they're like, look, we can offer some proof that this wasn't about treachery, at least on our part.
How are they going to come up with proof for this one?
Yeah, look, it doesn't even say. It just says the king was persuaded.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
And this is how you know this narrative is a bit weird, dodgy.
Yeah, because like, what on earth could they say?
Yeah, what are you going to say?
We had no idea. Proof is?
Like, meh?
There's nothing in writing, I guess.
Like, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
But anyway, like, the narrative just sort of smooths over that problem. You're like, the king was persuaded.
Yeah, okay. Because the Romans have been so trustworthy in the past.
Yeah, and he's like, look... Porsena's like, look, what you can do to solve this problem is just bring the maids back as hostages to me.
Right.
And we'll just start again.
Okay.
There'll be no more bathing alone. Yeah.
He's going to put on a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, in Livy, basically, he's initially angry and he sends envoys to say, what the? Okay, but then it's kind of a bit like the whole Scaevola situation in that after he's calmed down, he starts to say, you know what? Damn me if I'm not wholly impressed by this young lady's gumption. And he starts to talk about her being more awesome than Horatius Cocles and Miccius Scaevola. He just thinks she's that cool. And so basically he says, okay, so obviously hostages need to be, you know, given back and all. But if you give them back, then I'll send them back to you. It's just like a token of faith. Again, it's kind of like a, you're awesome, I'm awesome, let's both act in an awesome manner.
Yeah.
So basically...
I'm very suspicious of this narrative. I know,
but yeah, so basically what happens is they send back Cloelia and the hostages, okay? And he's like, okay, cool, so you've upheld your part of the bargain, and so I shall send Cloelia back in safety. And not only that, but I will make a present to you, Cloelia, of half of the hostages, and you can choose... whoever you like. And so Cloelia, being a virtuous Roman maiden, says, I think I'll take the young boys. Thank you very much. I'll be on my way.
Wow.
Yeah, so basically, and then after this whole situation, everything's cool again.
I mean, it's a real problem.
Yeah.
This whole narrative is a problem, totally. And it doesn't matter.
Sorry. Cloelia also gets an equestrian statue, which is erected at the head of a sacred street. Just add that.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
She does get a statue.
She does. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. The whole thing is like, seriously.
Yeah, all very strange. Yeah. So, as far as Dionysius's narrative concerns, it gets very confusing because the maids. It's agreed that the maidens have to be brought back to Porsena's camp.
Okay,
and the consul also needs to come across, so because they've got to talk about this situation because this is a problem.
Yeah,
and you've got to explain yourself, and Porsena wants some answers.
Definitely.
But while that's happening, Tarquinius and the Tarquinii decide that they're going to take hostage of the hostages. And
wait, what?
I know. They decide to sort of go rogue. Right. And they're like, you know, so while those maidens are coming back to be hostages with Porsena, we're going to intercept them and take them hostages ourselves because we're pissed about this situation. We're not getting what we want.
Pissed because of the Romans or pissed because of Porsena?
Both, maybe. They're not getting
what they want. He's just not getting restored. And
he's not getting his property back. He's not getting restored. And he thinks maybe, like, well, these maidens, some of them are... They're patricians, so I need some leverage.
Yeah, okay.
And so
So
he sends some horses to chase down these maidens. Unfortunately, mistimes it because the consul who's coming across from Rome catches up to the maidens just at the gate of Porsena's camp.
Right,
and that's when the horsemen that Tarquinius has sent also turn up. And they're like, what are you doing here?
What do you mean?
And it was like...
they're just out for a ride.
Because it's a little bit too late to intercept them because they've already arrived at the camp, essentially. So there's that issue.
Yeah.
And then So Porsena apparently is very pissed off with the Tarquinii then at that point.
I
He's
can
like,
understand that,
why
yeah.
are you going behind my back when I'm trying to do things for you?
Yeah, apparently, according to this author, they're only in this mess because of you anyway.
Yeah, I'm here to help you guys out.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you interfering with due process?
Yeah. I'm trying to make a point, and the Romans will never learn if you don't follow through with what you said you'll do.
Yeah. And this, apparently, is the instigation for Porsena to acquit the Romans of any wrongdoing and to renounce his friendship with the Tarquinii.
Oh, my God. Okay,
yeah.
So this is obviously just a way of explaining how Porsena sort of drops the Tarquin.
Yeah, drops the Tarquins family. Like a hot
yeah.
potato.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so he right. has this whole narrative around yeah. Cloella and the return of the hostage maidens.
Yeah, to explain why they're just like, no more Tarquins, yeah. no more.
And then it's all a bit of like rubbing salt in the wound. So Cloella is praised then by Porsena and be like, you guys are great. And be like, seeing
take
the Tarquin.
Take note, Tarquin.
Yeah. Having the Tarquini eye in the corner being yeah. like, bugger.
Yeah. Superbus. This is what you should be like.
Yeah.
Kind of. Not really, but
you know,
whatever.
You know, I'm going to reward them massively for their loyalty to Drew Process.
At least they were coming back.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Yeah. They came back like yeah. I asked. Unlike you guys. So he praises Cloella for her bravery. Presents her with a war horse.
Oh.
Ah, with magnificent trappings.
Well, that's going to come in handy for a Roman maiden.
Euphemism much? In any case, and then decides that, like, look, Romans, it's done. It's like, I'm sick of these Tarquins. Let's just be friends.
Let's just put it behind us.
Yeah. And so, and then in a huge gesture of generosity, Porsena decides that he's pulling out of his camp, which is like a city, and says to the Romans, you can have my camp. it's pretty impressive, and it's laid out like a city.
No hard feelings, guys.
Yeah, I think you guys will enjoy it. Because apparently their tradition when they leave territory is to burn their camp.
Well, yeah.
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 But instead this time, generously leaving it to the Romans.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I have a lot of problems with this, but I can't even begin to understand what's actually going on right now.
Well, to make it even more crazy.
Right. I didn't think that was possible, but
yeah,
please continue.
As far as Dionysius is concerned,
yeah.
this gets even more mad. The Roman Senate decide to vote to Porsena a throne of ivory.
Okay.
A scepter.
Okay.
A crown of gold,
right?
A triumphal robe, which had been the insignia of the kings.
What?
Okay, this definitely sounds like
Porsena.
Porsena becomes the king of the Romans accidentally. In this narrative, because
that's hilarious.
They don't like Dionysius doesn't position it to say that Porsena becomes the king of the Romans.
Yeah. But he just gets all this
but
stuff.
But the Roman Senate gives him all of the insignia of the kings.
Convenient.
I'm sorry, but I think Porsena becomes the king of the Romans at this point in time.
Yeah.
Something happens. So, like, this narrative doesn't help explain what seems to be really going on here.
No,
which is Porsena wins and for some period of time becomes king of Rome and then maybe decides to get out of there.
Yeah, that seems to be what is actually going on. Because Livy does have talk about the camp of Porsena.
Mm.
Okay, and basically the fact that the goods were left behind and, you know, were sold off, basically. So basically talking about, you know, spoils of the enemy, selling them off. But it's not quite that extreme. You know, he doesn't really talk about the, you know, trappings of a king.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. Look, and
that's
you know,
wild, man.
The other characters who feature prominently in this portion of the narrative also get some rewards. So Mucius is voted a portion of public land,
right,
by the Tiber.
Yeah,
And also in the same method as Horatius Cocles was granted, he can have as much land as he's able to plow in a day.
Yeah.
Mucius having the advantage of being less injured, I suspect.
Yeah.
Although if his hand,
walk, yeah,
you know,
if his hand
is burnt, maybe
it's
who
just
knows,
the right hand.
You know,
it's got the left.
Yeah. And Cloella with her bronze statue, which
is
set up on the Sacred Way, which apparently, according to Dionysius, does not any longer exist
right.
in his time when he's writing his work.
Yeah, see, Livy at least says that he can't quite figure out how the Romans came to have the camp. He basically says the most likely... He says there are several accounts out there about how, you know, this all sort of happens about, and it seems the most likely is that Porsena, as he was pulling out, said, you know what, you may as well just make use of my camp, because there's heaps of provisions and stuff in there. And
you guys are starving.
Exactly, you guys are starving, so you can have them, you know.
No hard feelings, guys. Yeah,
exactly.
It's been fun.
Yeah, and apparently, like, you know, the selling off of this stuff basically leads to a bit of a saying that at public sales, apparently even down to Livy's day, people might say that they are selling the goods of King Porsena.
Oh.
Apparently, yeah. So I guess
come to my Porsena sale.
Exactly, yeah. Everything has to go, kind of. If it happened, whatever. Yeah. Okay, well, should we perhaps pause there, do you think?
I think we've had enough individual courage
and exhausted
bravery.
By the bravery.
I do. And the confusion of, like, what is actually happening in this narrative versus, like, what is between the lines.
Well, and even in your account as well, if we do sort of go with this potential story that Porsena actually was the one that... Well, the capture of the city by Porsena is actually what brought around the expulsion of the Tarquins.
Mm.
That even might be, like, the transferring of the, you know, kingly regalia to, you know, the new king, kind of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's all very confusing. I mean, that's the thing. We're never really going to know.
No, and I think that's what kind of makes it interesting as well. And the benefit that we do get in terms of the historical narrative is these great sort of singular characters cropping out.
Yes, exactly.
Who are doing these great things, which are sort of like little markers, if you like, of Roman qualities.
Exactly,
that the Romans are interested in really holding on to.
Yeah, and it tells
what
us
what types of bravery
exactly
are really lauded.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's somewhat positive that one of them was a maiden for once, you know?
Yeah.
Bit of a thing, you know? Slight nod in the right...
What? 50% of the population could be involved in bravery?
Well, it has been very masculine up to this
point. It has. I always like the entrance of women into the history.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that there are obviously, you know, qualities that are valued in Roman women as well as Roman men. And they're not entirely dissimilar, you know?
Well, certainly Coelia doesn't come up for any of the sort of slight criticism that comes into play in later narratives as we get further into the historical period, where displaying certain types of bravery become associated with masculinity in particular, and thus become unfavorable for women to be engaging.
It's a fine line, and you want to make sure you don't cross it.
Yes, but you can cross the Tiber.
Yeah.
And that will make you brave.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure as always, Dr. G. If you have enjoyed listening to our episode, please do review us on iTunes. We would really appreciate it. And like us on Facebook.
Ooh.